Down he goes, and that time it's Ernest Jones.
Daryl Henderson, he's off and running. Touchdown, A-Rob.
Van Jefferson.
Jalen Ramsey put the pop on him.
Sacked by Leonard Floyd.
Jordan Fuller comes up with his second interception.
Making the grab, Odell Beckham Jr.
Untouched is Bobby Wagner. Gets it.
Got it. Touchdown. The Rams were built to win the Super Bowl. And they have sealed the deal.
All right, guys, welcome back to Downtown Rams. As always, I'm your host, Alexis Kraft, joined here with my co-host, Jake Ellenbogen. And we are coming to you the day after our Los Angeles Rams fell to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa Bay, 16-13. And Jake, it was not, a fun game. Tensions are high among the fan base right now, and I think rightfully so. And I think, as you and I have discussed, people listening to this show want us to keep it real, and we're going to keep it real. We're not going to hold back. Guys, it was an unacceptable loss. I mean, the Rams should have beaten this Tampa Bay team. Okay, this Tampa Bay team, you know, we've been talking all season about how the Rams have offensive line injuries. Well, guess what? The Bucs might have even had it worse, okay? We talk about things not going well with our offense. The Bucs have had the same story. And when we started playing yesterday, Jake, as you and I have discussed, the Rams looked like they should win that game. Now, they didn't look great, okay? To start off the game, they did not look good. But then they got things rolling a little bit, and it looked like, okay, maybe we're going to make something happen. Maybe the Rams are going to run away with this. And they just shot themselves in the foot time and time again. And Jake, it's absolutely unacceptable what we allowed Tom Brady to do at the end of the game. The Tampa Bay Bucs, guys, if in case you need a refresher, won in a game-winning drive at the very end of the fourth quarter, led by Tom Brady. They ran all over us. It was like we didn't even try. It was embarrassing to watch. Really good for Bucs fans. I mean, I can imagine Bucs fans watched that and just were elated. It was insane to watch, but not for Rams fans, not for this fan base. And to avoid rambling here, Jake, I'm going to keep it simple. You and I both said in the last episode, we said that if the Rams were to lose to the Bucs, that's going to change the way that we discuss the Rams for the rest of the season. It might not be a literal death sentence in terms of numbers and making the playoffs, but the outlook for this Rams team drastically changes with that loss. There was a lot of things riding on the line with that loss, including the Odell Beckham Jr. thing, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, a little later, coming back to the Rams, what this offense looks like going forward, how the Rams staff approaches the rest of the season. There was a lot riding on this game. And Jake, unfortunately, I know that we're of this opinion. Other people listening to this might not be. I think this very much alters what our priorities are for this Rams team moving forward. It's not impossible to make the playoffs, but it's very hard right now to see this Rams team, with the way that they've been performing, being competitive against any of the playoff teams. You're looking at these teams in the NFC that are competitive, and I hate to say it, one of it's the 49ers. Look at the Eagles. You look at the Vikings. You look at these teams, and then you look at the Rams, and it's really hard right now to say with confidence that the Rams could even come close to competing with those teams. It's absolutely abysmal. So, Jake, we're going to get into it. I want to hear your overall thoughts on this game. And, you know, I think we really just have to, like, try to understand what it is that's going wrong with the Rams. Is it fixable? Or is it that far gone? Because we already know our mindset has changed, the way that we evaluate this team looking forward. We already know that. We talked about it last episode. But how, after you give your brief recap of the game, how realistic do you think it is for this Rams team to, in all honesty, kind of do a 180?
It's tough to say that it's not realistic. This is a team that has gone through it before, but I mean, we've seen 2019 where they missed the playoffs. We saw, 2020 where they, at moments didn't look great. They had a game where they held Tua Tagovailoa under 100 yards back in 2020, and they lost that game by multiple possessions. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like they've been through this before. But the problem is it's no longer, you know, just a month, right? Now you're talking, this has lingered. And, you know, I believe the last time the Rams made the playoffs at, you know, after starting 3-5, they went to the Super Bowl in 79. So it's not uncharted waters for the organization, but it's certainly somewhat uncharted waters under Sean McVay. You know, I don't believe, and I could be wrong, I don't believe he's ever started 3-5 before. But what I will say is that I feel like it should be correctable, Alexis. You know, if you can't tell, I'm losing my voice because yesterday I was just screaming the whole time at them. Just kidding. But no, you know, it should be fixable. You know, you have Sean McVay. You would think he would fix this, but in reality, I mean, what is there to really fix? The defense is probably top 10 in the league, and they're only giving up 17 points per game. You know, the Rams actually started this whole bend don't break thing. They were not the first, but they're running this Vic Fangio type of scheme, like rooted with the Fangio defense that really shut them out in the 2018 season, gave them basically everybody got the blueprint on how to stop Jared Goff and Sean McVay and the Rams, as we saw in the Super Bowl. But the Rams are running a defense in which they go into each game and they're like, the magic number is hold them under 20. Okay, that's the magic number. And Rams, literally all the Rams offense has to do is be average. If you're average and can put up 20 a game, you're probably going to win most of these games. And they're not doing that. They're not even averaging 17 points per game. That is horrendous. That is absolutely unacceptable. It's terrible. And here's what I actually want to bring up. Everyone says same old sorry ass Rams, right? Well, here's the thing about that, Alexis. They weren't very talented. You know, we may have loved Danny Amendola and Denari Alexander and guys like that, you know, but watching Brandon Gibson come down with a one-handed catch, you'd be excited. Kenny Britt, Brian Quick, whoever. You think they were anywhere near as talented as this team? No. And that's the thing. They're not scoring with those guys. Okay, it's frustrating. It's a bad roster composition. Billy Devaney was the GM at the time. Les Snead, you know, he was the GM before they were good. Don't forget that. But, you know, I feel like right now, you know, this is a good roster composition. And they've dealt with injuries on the offensive line, but I hate to break it to you. The offensive line is no longer an excuse. Because the coaches are the ones that watched the film last week, Alexis, watched Bobby Evans give up half the pressures the entire offensive line gave up, watched him give up half the amount of sacks the entire offensive line gave up, and said, you know what? Despite the fact that a guy who had been with us for 7 weeks plugged right in Ode Abushi, didn't allow a pressure, didn't allow a sack, we're going to bench him because he's clearly the issue, not the guy giving up half our pressures. And they literally trot out Bobby Evans. And I'm at the point, Alexis, where I don't even blame Bobby Evans. Like, he's got to know he's not supposed to be in this role. Okay, he's one of the best offensive linemen in the world because he's in the NFL. He's just not good enough to start in the NFL. That's okay. Why are they putting him in there, you know, in that position to fail, you know? And we found out that Chandler Brewer in this game can actually play guard. So now you've actually, might have actually found out your five, that it is good enough, believe it or not. And I mean, even still, you know, the question is like, we're identifying the left guard. No. Bobby Evans should have been pulled from this game after he gave up three sacks to the same guy. Better yet, Bobby Evans should have been pulled from this game after he gave up the sack to Vita Vea on the play where, while Matthew Stafford is getting sacked, you can see Bobby Evans in a screenshot all over Twitter now, blocking air. I mean, come on. That's on the coaching, though. That's not the offensive line. That's not being banged up. You saw the way Abushi played. Why is he not in there? That's on the coaches. They decided, they went through the entire tape and they came away with, yeah, we should keep Bobby Evans in. So they deserve, you know, the criticism for that. And then, you know, you have the defense playing the way it's playing. So the offense, literally all they have to do in this game to win it is score 17. That's all they had to do. They just had to score 17 points, or better yet, they could have won 13-9 by just getting 10 yards. And Sean McVay didn't even trust his offense, didn't trust his play calling enough to get 10 yards to end the game. He played not to lose, not to win. He played not to lose. Kansas City last night against the Tennessee Titans on their own side of the field went for it on fourth down just to extend a drive to likely win the game. And that's what we're talking about, is right now the Rams are not playing that hard-nosed football. They're not playing the football where they were backed up against the wall. The Bengals had one stop away to potentially win the Super Bowl, and the Rams went for it on fourth and one at their own, 20-yard line? They had Cooper Kupp run an end-around, and he got the first down. They went for it on fourth and one on their, own 20-yard line, and if they don't get it, the Super Bowl, it's done. They could have punted it, but they went for it. This team, this year, is the team that's going to punt it. They have no belief in their players. Matthew Stafford is being play called, the calls that are being called for him, it's like Jared Goff is under center. The running backs, Daryl Henderson, the third quarter, goes for 10, then goes for 23. He's out the next play after the 23-yarder. This guy never gets back-to-back carries. We've constantly been saying there needs to be a rhythm in place for the running backs. This running back by committee does not work. And sure enough, we see it. What we've been saying shows up. Daryl Henderson gets two carries back-to-back, gets 33 yards on two carries. That offense, the rest of the game, barely moved the ball in the second half, just like last week. Daryl Henderson gets them to the 11-yard line, and he's out of the game, and Cam Akers is in. They throw three straight times. They don't get it. They kick a 26-yard field goal. Well, when you kick a field goal like that in the red zone, hate to break it to you, the defense won that. You just lost. And that's what happened, is that they are not a good... their offensive play calling is abysmal. And when you're inside their own 20, it's under a microscope. And when you're inside your own 20 and when you're in the red zone, it's under a microscope. It's only going to get worse when the amount of field that you have left, basically shrinks. And now the defense knows there are multiple things that you can do and what you can't do. And right now, this is a predictable offense that has way too many weapons to not be 6-2 right now. They should be 6-2. They have a defense that's barely giving up points. They can't score points. So instead of a 6-2 team where we're talking about, being picky, right, and feeling kind of bad about it, they're 6-2. Why are we being picky? No, we're not even picky right now. This is ridiculous. When you have another side of the ball, a unit that's playing that well on the defensive side, eliminating explosive plays. By the way, playing bend don't break. They give up all those yards, so to speak. They're top 10 defensively. They barely gave up yards. Tom Brady, Alexis, had less than 80. He had less than an 80 passer rating, which is abysmal. And he didn't even turn the ball over. That's how bad he was. And that's how much the defense shut him down. He had no answer. The leading receivers on the offense for the Bucs, I'll tell you right now, they weren't Mike Evans. They weren't Chris Godwin. They were Cade Otton and Scotty Miller. I mean, the defense did their job and the offense didn't. And is it on the players? Yes, you got to execute. Van Jefferson had a drop. Cooper Kupp, sliding instead of maybe getting the first down. You could argue those are two things. But Cooper Kupp caught the 69-yard touchdown that bailed them out, And at the end of the day, I think really this can all be fixed pretty easily. I just don't know if I trust them to actually do it. But when Kyren Williams comes back, you go with a split backfield. You go with him and you go with Daryl Henderson. No trying Cam Akers out. Don't put him in the middle of a really good drive. Try to get him going. No, you can't afford it. You need points. Stick to what's working. Start trying to use Tutu Atwell down the field. He was inactive, Alexis. I understand we could say he wasn't worth a second round pick, but I think they've done him no justice whatsoever to even prove why they drafted him. He had a 60-something yard catch against Dallas, and we haven't seen him since. So what did he do wrong? Who knows? Keep using Van Jefferson the way you're using him. He's still getting acclimated. The drops sucked. I think he'll be fine. But You got to get those running backs going. You got to stick to the ground game when it's working. You got to stop with the gimmicky, the wide receiver bubble screens. Why don't we see any running back design screens? You know, why don't we see any of that? And then you got to bench Bobby Evans, put in Odey Obuchi, and start Chandler Brewer until your guys come back, because Shelton's right around the corner, and so is David Edwards. This is a team that can fix it. This is a team that can get in the playoffs. And like I said about my baseball team this year to you with the New York Yankees, this is a team that has shown they can be the worst team and lose to anybody, and they could be the best team and beat anybody. That's what the Rams are, because we saw glimpses of it against the Falcons. If this, with the amount of talent they have, if they figure it out and they call a good game, they can beat anybody, but they could also lose to anybody. And we've really learned that. So right now, the goal is, don't even think about the NFC West. Think about just getting to the playoffs. Yes, winning the division would be great. It's probably not likely. Seattle looks pretty decent, and you can only theoretically lose 3 games to have a shot at the playoffs. You can't lose 4 because you're not getting in at 8-9. So, you know, push comes to shove, they can only lose really 2 games, in my opinion. This is one of those gimme games I think they had to have. Now, their schedule is a lot easier than we initially thought coming into the year, Alexis, but I just have to say, though, I think if this team gets in the playoffs and they figure out their play calling, they have way too much talent to not get things done. And they could be a real problem if they get to that point. But they have to actually get going on the offensive end. It's that simple.
You said that much more eloquently than I would have. I very much held my tongue in the opening. I do want to talk about the play calling. Let's start off there.
It's not good. There
it's
you go.
Not good. It's very stale. It's just, I think here's the thing. Part of Sean McVay's DNA, or so we thought, his part of his football DNA was the creativity, right? That's kind of what he got on the map for. The offensive brilliance, you know, everything, the rise of Sean McVay is always associated with the offense, which is why it's been so puzzling that our offense is the problem, right? Our offense is kind of what turned everybody's heads to Sean McVay. It's what kind of the Rams, their identity became around this creative, flashy offense. That is now gone. And here's the thing. I understand our offensive line is not great. Okay. That definitely impacts things. I'm not saying that it doesn't, but what the offensive line doesn't do is drop passes. It doesn't miss wide open receivers. It doesn't make poor play calling decisions. And since we're talking about play calling right now, Jake, I want to pick your brain a little bit and also give my thoughts on why the game plan is so stale. Now, when we started the season, the obvious problem was Stafford was like force feeding Kupp, right? We were watching like the first 3, maybe even 4 games. We were sitting there and we were like, why is he not throwing to anybody else? He's only throwing to Kupp. All this, you know, what's going on? Our assumption was that the offensive line was so bad that Stafford had to get rid of the ball quickly. And in his mind, he was like, I trust Kupp. Okay, that makes sense a little bit. But then we did start to see guys like Ben Skowronek step up. Tyler Higbee, obviously, using the term step up for Tyler Higbee seems weird to me because I think he's always been pretty solid, but I think he had more involvement than we've seen in the past. And we start to see these things where Stafford seems to slowly but surely be hitting other receivers. Allen Robinson, it took a long time, I feel, in my opinion, for him to be build that chemistry with Allen Robinson. So then it becomes, okay, it seems like things are getting maybe a little better in the passing game. He's starting to kind of not force feed Kupp anymore. But the one thing that's remained bad, Jake, is the run game. The run game is so bizarre. I mean, obviously starting off the season, I think everybody kind of felt like Cam Akers was running back number one. I know that you didn't. I know that I didn't in terms of talent, but in terms of what the Rams wanted to do in their depth chart, I think it was pretty apparent that Cam Akers was going to be the lead back, followed by Daryl Henderson, followed by Kyren Williams. Kyren Williams crushed my heart in a million pieces and got hurt. It wasn't his fault, but that's what happened. So Kyren Williams out of the picture. So then we go to the duo of Cam and Daryl Henderson. Sean McVay returns to an old habit of his. He calls virtually zero run plays to start the season. First few games, it's frustrating. Then it continues. And now we're going into week 10. Jake, Nothing has changed. Why is he not running the football? Again, we can't keep blaming everything on the offensive line. We can't keep saying, oh, well, he's not running it because the offensive line line is bad. That's not why. That doesn't make any sense. Especially when you're having a hard time in the passing game, like our passing game is abysmal. Like you usually would go to the run game. Jake, why does Sean McVay not even want to attempt to run the ball? And when he attempts to run the ball, why is he not feeding Daryl Henderson more, who, as we've talked about many times on this show, I think right now he's averaging, Jake, this number might have changed, so correct me if I'm wrong, 7 yards per carry? Six or seven?
No. He's averaging 4.1, which is still 4.1. Solid.
Okay, well, he was. He was at one point averaging 6.7.
In the middle of the game, he was at like 7.2 when they went away from him.
Right. And then Cam Akers, Jake, I'll let you share that number because I want to see.
2.8.
Okay.
On the season.
That's actually
he was like
higher.
0.6 in the game.
Yeah, I'm talking about in the season. But regardless, point stands. Daryl Henderson, you don't even have to look at the stats to know that. You can watch the game and see what happens when Daryl Henderson gets the ball and when Cam Akers gets the ball. Jake, Cam Akers, I laughed, and I shouldn't have laughed the first time he got the ball back, and he couldn't find the hole. But he couldn't find a hole.
I know what you were saying, but
yeah, you know. I know that everyone got what I was saying, but I just want to clarify. There was no opening.
Yeah.
And he literally was like not creating a lane, couldn't find a lane. He was like, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, this is the same problem he's had all season. Like, how is he supposed to get more yards per carry if he has zero vision?
If you're going to just sit out two games, how are you going to get better at that?
Well, right. And again, it was like, I was curious going into the game. I was like, what are they going to do with the run game? Well, we wanted them to obviously have a better run game than they have. We didn't get that. But in my mind, I was like expecting them to at least call more run plays than they did. I mean, it was kind of stunning, to be honest, because
they ran it more with Henderson than I expected. I gotta say, I did not think he'd get 12 carries. I did think he'd get like 56 yards, which is 4.7, which is pretty much his sweet spot when he gets a decent amount of carries. The Rams, by the way, Alexis, are 6-2 when Daryl Henderson gets at least 15 carries. They're 12-10 when he gets under 10 carries. So,
I mean,
they're 1-2 when he gets 0 carries in a start. So if he actually starts the game and gets 0 carries, they're 1-2.
And here's the thing. I wanted to talk about play calling, but guys, this is about play calling because Sean McVay, I think there's a lot that he's not really doing right this season in terms of play calling, I guess you could say, but the lack of the run game is very puzzling to me because here's the thing. I understand there's a lot of Rams fans that are like, we don't have that big back that they want, right? We don't have like the Derrick Henry or, you know, the angry runner or whatever they want to say.
He'd still get 15 carries in this offense.
Yeah, that's my thing is I'm like, yeah, we don't have him. But even if we did, like Sean McVay would not use him. It's apparent at this point that Sean McVay just does not like the run game. I would venture to say that Sean McVay hates the run game. I'm using that word, hate. It's like Sean McVay has a disdain for it. He doesn't even want to touch it. And guys, listen, this is not just because of the offensive line. He's been doing this since always, okay? It's gotten worse this year. I don't believe it's just because of the offensive line. Maybe I'm wrong. I just think for whatever reason, along with all the other play calling, and Jake, I'm going to move on from the run game and I'm going to let you talk about some other play calling stuff that is going wrong because there's sadly quite a bit, but I don't understand. And I feel like Sean McVay has not really been giving an answer about it either. To be fair, I don't think anybody's really asked him directly about the run game. But I feel like every answer that we hear about the run game is like he just brushes over it. And I want to know why it's not happening. Now, nobody knows but him, obviously, but that's me speaking out loud. But Jake, other play calling issues, what are your thoughts?
Well, I did like to see the quote today. We're recording this on a Monday. Gilbert Manzano, who also covers the Rams, had a quote. McVay says it's a possibility he gives running back Darrell Henderson more carries moving forward to find a rhythm on the ground. Henderson's season high for carries came in week one with 13. And the quote is, I thought he did some good things yesterday. So, I quote tweeted this and put, the song Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? That's literally all I could react to, because I'm like, Darrell Henderson getting a heavier workload just doesn't even compute with my brain. I'm so used to this guy going out there running for six and then getting benched until the third quarter or whatever. And honestly, that's not even true, Alexis, because he is being used, in the passing game as a decoy and, as a pass protector. He's just not getting the ball. Like, anytime Cam Akers is in there, you just know they almost always are going to run it with him. We've talked about that, really tips off the defense. But right now, it is more than just play calling too, because I'm like, what was the whole point of going out and getting Allen Robinson if you're just going to use him like you would with Robert Woods? I just still don't get it. I love Allen Robinson. Okay, saw the catch yesterday. Everyone saw the catch yesterday. That's Allen Robinson on full display. And you want to get him 1v1 with a guy, have him go up top, turn a 50-50 ball into an 80-20 ball. That's his ability. He plays like a power forward. He's going to jump over you, box you out, and take the ball out of the air. But they don't use him in that way. And this offense does not throw deep down the field. And what I think is, it is the offensive line, but it's because Sean McVay is so shell-shocked by how bad the offensive line played earlier in the year that even when they get good offensive line play, their game plan going into the game was already to get the ball out quickly because they just don't trust the offensive line. Eventually, you have to realize you're in week 10, you got 9 games left. You have to understand that you're either going to figure this thing out or not, but doing the same thing you do each week is not how you're going to figure it out. You might win some games that way, but I felt like we were looking at the Jeff Fisher Rams on the other sideline with Tampa. They did not have any business winning that game. Dallas honestly shouldn't have won the game. Even though they won 22-10, they shouldn't have won that game. It just goes to show you, when you are constantly doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results, that is the definition of insanity. And I said this, and then I actually was on Twitter after my live stream yesterday, and I noticed Cooper Kupp said this exact thing. And if Cooper Kupp is saying this, who literally is the offense, and if you don't believe me, he had 127 receiving yards out of 165 yesterday. He had 8 out of the 13 receptions from the receiving room. I mean, he's saying this. And he's not, Cooper Kupp doesn't care about targets. He's not going to sit there and be like, I need to be utilized more. You're not going to get Devo with Kupp. Kupp wants to win. Okay. And at the end of the day, I think that there's a serious issue here, because even Jalen Ramsey's like, there's no reason why our defense should have been back on the field. And he's absolutely right. When you stop Tom Brady, who by all means everyone calls the GOAT, he went down the field, he brought them into the red zone, and the Rams bend don't break bent, but they didn't break. And they shut them down on fourth down. That was the second turnover on downs of the day in which the Rams did nothing with. They didn't even get a field goal out of those two. That's not acceptable. Like, you have to be able to go 2-for-1. They did not do that. The defense even did this. And this is something that I don't think gets talked about enough. The defense nullified the fact that Tampa got the ball in the second half. The first possession, Tampa comes out and they shut him down. The Rams offense had 8 3 and outs. How are you going to win football games with 8 3 and outs? When you have that much talent and you can't even get a first down on 8 of your, 12 drives that you have, that's on the play calling. Yes, you got to execute, but that's on the play calling. because there are guys executing. I mean, Cooper Kupp had 127 yards on 8 receptions for a touchdown. He's executing. Darrell Henderson had 12 carries for 56 yards. That's 4.7 yards per carry. And, you know, everyone talks about how he can't break tackles. Had 41 yards after contact. He had 3 missed tackles generated. That's a very good day for Darrell Henderson in a limited amount of time because he only had 12 carries. That's executing. You look at Allen Robinson, three catches for 24 yards. They don't go back to him, but he executed in his limited opportunities. Like, this is the problem. And they go away from what works. You can call it a gimmick, but when they were using Ben Skoranek as a fullback, they were helping their run game. You know, when they were using those toss crack plays to the left, as long as it wasn't Cam Akers, you're using it with Henderson, there's production coming from that. And they go away, Alexis, from what works. And I don't get it. I feel like it's like McVay trying to be cute. And I said this, you know, in Super Bowl 53 against the Patriots. I just felt like Sean McVay was just trying to be cute. Like, they had all the talent there. They barely ran the ball against New England. You know, it's like Todd Gurley got 15 yards. John Sullivan gets called for a penalty. They go past midfield. If you're looking on Gamecast, the Rams in that moment in the fourth quarter, according to Gamecast, were favored 65% favorites to win that Super Bowl. And that call gets, you know, they get taken back and now they don't run. You know, it's like CJ Anderson, the fumble, they don't run. It's like Sean McVay goes away from what works. He gets like spooked and then has to get like cute with it. And I really just have to go with the idea that at the end of the day, Alexis, it's very simple. Okay. They need, as soon as possible, they need Sean McVay to stop calling plays. I love the guy. I believe that he is 100% one of the best coaches in football. But if he wants to be the best coach in football, he needs to take this off his plate. And I think now might be the time. And I don't know if it's Liam Cohen. I don't know if it's something crazy where you know, maybe Jay Gruden, who's, you know, an advisor for the team. He's had experience called. I don't know. I don't know if it's Thomas, you know, Brown. I don't know if next year is the time. And you talk about Frank Reich, who just got fired by the Colts. Maybe you bring in a completely new guy and he calls the plays. Maybe you bring in Cliff Kingsbury when he inevitably gets fired from the Cardinals because they're not going to win more than 7 games this year. But there has to be a new play caller on the offensive side. Because Raheem Morris, regardless of the fan base saying he should have done this and that, Raheem Morris's defense is not the most fun to watch. It's not the most dominant, but it works. It's effective. We've both talked about this. It's effective. It's a reason why they should be 6-2. Raheem Morris isn't getting fired, folks. Raheem Morris is probably getting a head coaching job at the end of the year, if I'm being honest. Regardless of how this team does, people know and they see what Raheem is doing and they're going to want that. So I think that's really where we're at. I mean, they have 9 games, obviously, but I think regardless, Sean McVay has got to give up play calling soon because I think it's a lot. I think it's a ton to put on a head coach to call plays to now he gets more involved in the defense because Wade Phillips is gone. You know, that was like those were like his training wheels because Phillips had all of the defense. He wanted more, you know, ownership in the defense. So now he's the defense, the offense. He's doing everything. Now he has to call plays. Let Sean McVay do what he does best. He designs plays. He is an unbelievable play designer. He is an offensive guru. But right now, play calling is just not it for him. I think he is struggling, and I think it's okay to admit that.
I agree. I don't think it's been good for a while, honestly, with the play calling with him, and I think it's time for him to move on from that. I personally don't think that he will. I would be very surprised to see him move on from play calling. I don't think that that's going to happen, but I know that we both would like to see that happen. To close us out, Jake, I want to talk about, unfortunately, the game-winning drive by Tom Brady. Because here's the thing. While you and I both agree that the bend-don't-break defense has been working, it's infuriating to watch, and if you make one little mistake in bend-don't-break, then it breaks down and there's a touchdown. We've seen that, you know, where the Rams miss tackles and things, and then it becomes a nightmare. But I was not a fan of that last drive of them playing soft zone. Because we saw what happened. I thought that was the time to abandon that because the first few throws, right, of that drive, they just got run over by the Bucs. I mean, Tom Brady was just finding wide open receivers. They were playing way off the guys, and I just thought, this does not look good. This might be the time. There's, you know, less than a minute left in the game. You've got Tom Brady trying to lead a game-winning drive. Let's not play soft zone right now. Here's the thing. It's hard to say, was that the reason we lost the game? Obviously, whatever the defense did there is the reason we lost the game, right? But it shouldn't be on the defense, in my opinion. I've said this before in the show. I'm always like, never put yourself in a position to lose based on one drive. Easier said than done. Also, our defense kept us in that game. Let's be real. Our offense wasn't doing anything. So I have no animosity towards the defense. But the play calling there, I just want to talk about this because I know other people thought the same way that I did based on what I saw on social media. Would you have abandoned that during that last drive? Even though it's what their style of defense, I get it. But maybe do you think that it's valid criticism to be like, we probably should have not done that when the other team's trying to lead a game-winning drive?
Well, here's the problem. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because, and this is what I was trying to explain to some people that were getting on, you know, the bend don't break, is that if you don't play off and you know, here's the thing. Darian Kendrick probably shouldn't be starting. It should probably be Dakobe Durant. They probably don't feel comfortable with him because he missed some time. But Durant's athleticism, you feel more confident. Darian Kendrick has to play off because he's not a fast corner. That's what people are kind of not understanding about that. But when you look at this defense, they need a touchdown to win the game, Alexis. So, you know, they're fine giving up yards because they're thinking, you know, we can give them all the yards in the world, but we just got to shut them down and have them run out of time. The problem is Raheem is not responsible for that first play that goes for what, 28 something yards to Otten. That's poor execution by the Rams. I mean, just because they're in prevent doesn't mean that they can't close in. There was like virtually no range from Taylor Rapp and Nick Scott. There's nobody there. You know, just because you're in prevent doesn't mean that the seam buster should be wide open where you can't come in and try to make a play. I mean, he's wide open, clear as day. But you got to play the prevent because, you know, all they need is a touchdown. And you're thinking, Darian Kendrick on Mike Evans, this guy hasn't really done anything all day. We shut down Mike Evans. We shut down Fournette. We shut down Godwin. It just takes that one big play. And so they're trying to avoid that big play. I get it. There wasn't a ton of time left. You know, they shouldn't have been out there. And really, the reality of it is even if they did play outside of prevent, they probably still lose because they're absolutely exhausted. That was pathetic on the offensive part to not even get a first down there. Keep in mind, they just had a long drive before that. So they have a long drive before that. They get the fourth down stop. The momentum shifts back to the Rams on the road. You cannot let the home crowd get back into this game. This game is yours. You take it out of the crowd. You say, you know what? We got Matthew freaking Stafford. And you throw the ball. They were trying to get rid of all the timeouts of Tampa. Congrats, you did that and you lost. If they try to throw the ball, if they pick up one first down, you know, maybe it's a completely different story. I mean, the game's over if they get the first down, if I'm being honest. But it's just the defense is exhausted because they just made a stop. And I also think people forget the mental aspect of it. Like, you know, people are like, well, it's just not acceptable. I mean, they just gave up. They didn't give up at the end. They did not give up at the end. They're playing off because they're absolutely exhausted. If these guys played man-to-man, the game is over. Brady's throwing it over your head, and Mike Evans is catching a touchdown, or Chris Godwin. So they couldn't play, you know, man-to-man because they're absolutely exhausted. And with zone, you know, you can only do so much because what you're trying to do is keep them in bounds. So actually, basically, the Otten play should have been made, but at the same time, you take the Otten play because it's in bounds. They have to now, you know, give up some time. What you don't want are the sideline, you know, stuff. You want to, you know, funnel everything inside. And that's really what hurt the Rams. And you knew once they once they got that call at the end, which, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of throwing the flag there, but, you know, Darren Kendrick has to play a little bit less physical on that play. You know, I it's probably a penalty, but it's one of those calls where it's like, I don't know if you throw it there. But, you know, that would have been like third down at the seven. I think the Rams probably get the stop and win the game. But when you're at the 1 yard line, we saw it against Buffalo. They came back from 25 down. They took the lead. That was a horrible call on Gabe Davis and Darius Williams. They put the ball at the 1 yard line. Josh Allen throws a fade to Tyler Croft and the game's over. You know, when you get to the goal line like that, I mean, it's pretty much over. You're going up against Tom Brady. They have about however many seconds, 9 seconds left. You know, you're not feeling pretty good in that moment. But I mean, there's just not a lot that you can really do because it's not like they are going to kick a field goal. You know, they're going to continue to try to drive down the field and score a touchdown. And you just can't allow the big play because you have to assume that if they score, the game's over. And I have no faith whatsoever about them ever converting a crazy lateral sequence. I'll watch every other team do that the rest of time. I swear before I die, the Rams will never, I repeat, never get a lateral that goes their way. I just, they do not have that luck. I've seen teams do it. The Rams will not be one of those teams. So when it gets to that point and everyone's like crossing their fingers, I'm like, nah, it's over. What are you from, you know, the future? No, anyone knows it's over when it gets to that. So, yeah, it, you know, unfortunate and really upsetting. I was way more pissed yesterday, but I mean, you and I kind of talked about it a little bit over text and, you know, we talked about it a little bit off air and, you know, talked about it now. And I feel a little bit better. I mean, do I have I completely lost faith in this team? No. But am I willing to, you know, stand on top of, you know, a podium and say, look, like the Rams are going to run it back? Also, no. I mean, I just don't feel like, you know, this team can turn it around. Absolutely. They have the talent. If they get to the playoffs, they can win a couple games, you know, and maybe win it all. Right. But you got to get there first. And they just don't, like, how are you going to beat Buffalo if you face them again, even if you get to the Super Bowl? How are you beating the San Francisco 49ers with, you know, the play that we've seen from them against them? How are you beating the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau, you know, if they end up getting to the playoffs? How are you beating the Vikings on the road? I mean, the Vikings, you know, that's the thing, is that that Vikings defense would be a problem. The offense would be a problem. The Eagles, I don't see how you're beating the Eagles. The Eagles defense would shut down the run. They'd be a problem. So you start to look at, like, what are the avenues that they could go? I mean, could they beat the Giants? Theoretically, yes. They could put Daniel Jones in a predicament to throw some interceptions. They could beat teams like the Bears. They could beat the Falcons, who they already beat. The Saints, you know, who they play soon, 2 weeks from now. Could they beat Seattle? We don't know. We haven't seen them play this Seattle team this year. So that's going to be, you know, to be determined. So I think they're just in a weird spot where, like, I don't feel like the NFC is great. But, you know, the offensive play calling is going to have to get a hell of a lot better moving forward. And to be honest with you, if I'm going to get back on this team to the point where I feel like they can be a Super Bowl contender and turn this around, they would need to blow out Arizona this week at SoFi. No questions asked. If you just kicked them right in the throat, you know, curb stomped them, beat them 34-10, I'd be like, all right, Alexis, I'm probably going to regret this, but I think the Rams might actually have figured something out. I know the Cardinals aren't good, but you beat teams that aren't good 34-10 at home. And then, yeah, if they went to New Orleans and they beat them in a blowout, and then you go to Kansas City and it's a close game, even if it's a loss, if they won those two in a blowout, went to Kansas City and it was a close game, I'd start to have a little bit more faith in maybe, okay, this team can run it back. And maybe Odell is looking at this team like, hey, okay, you know, right now, 5-6, just lost a close game to Kansas City. Maybe I'm that missing piece, you know? And that's another thing I want to just bring up real quick, is that Odell wants to go to a contender. Yes. But he's got some fire in him. He's a competitor. Odell signed, he joined, you know, with this team, you know, right into, like, right after they just had an embarrassing output against the Titans. I think people forget about that. I mean, the Rams were kind of down in the dumps when they got Odell. You know, so I'm not exactly sold on the idea that Odell wouldn't come back as long as they're competing. They don't have to be the best team in the league. And it's not like he's just a mercenary who's going to sign with the best team. He wants to go with the best fit. I think the best fit is the one you know the offense with, you know the quarterback, you have familiarity with him, you get to play with Cooper Kupp, and if this team, and you get to stay in LA. And if this team is competing, I think he'll be back. If this team is not competing and we're talking about, you know, a 3-6 or a 4-7 team, Alexis, going into the Chiefs game, I wouldn't be surprised if Odell goes elsewhere. But, you know, if this is a team that's definitely in the hunt and Odell, the competitor he is, feels like he can elevate this team, I think he's back with the Rams. I think we're overrating and we're acting too much like Odell's some sort of front runner, because I don't think he's just going to sign with the best record. I think he's going to sign and go to the best spot, and I don't think he rules out an opportunity to make a team better.
I agree, and I really think it depends on how the Rams perform in November. We've got 100%. One November game down. First November game did not go so great, but we have the rest of the month, and I think that it's really going to depend on how we do, like you talked about earlier. I mean, if the Rams come out strong, you know, the rest of the month, and they really start to improve and you start to see positive momentum, definitely would not rule out OBJ coming back. If the Rams continue to do what they've been doing, no shot, in my opinion. I think the Rams definitely need to make positive progress in order to be considered for him to return. And also, everything that you just said about, you know, the Rams rest of the season, I agree with. I'm not super optimistic right now. I know it's hard to be optimistic, but it is, you know, like I said, I think this week really changed the way that most of us are viewing this Rams team right now. It puts a lot of questions in everybody's mind of what's the future look like now? What happens after this? What's going to happen after the season? And again, like you said, at the beginning of the season, I was like, the NFC is the Rams to lose. Because on paper, it was. I mean, we saw the offseason. I mean, everybody, all the free agents went to the AFC. Everybody got traded to the AFC. It was like just mass movement into the AFC. So it has been surprising to see that the Rams are where they are. Because I'll be honest, you know, talent-wise, I don't think that the teams like the Eagles or the Vikings are that much better than the Rams, if they are, speaking of pure talent. So, you know, to me, it's just this really confusing thing is going on with the Rams. Yes, I get the injuries, but I really hope they can turn it around. It's a shame. I think it's a shame because I think that they are more than talented enough, as you and I both agree, to be playing a lot better than they are. So I hope that the Rams coaching staff can get it together. I hope that they can make some changes. I, like you said, division game at home in SoFi next week. We're going to talk about it when we do a preview episode, but a big opportunity for the Rams. Again, I keep using the words positive momentum. I think that's so important in professional sports, and the Rams have an opportunity to take it back next Sunday. And we'll talk about that when we preview that. But guys, thanks for tuning in. As always, if you like what you hear, please like and subscribe. Please follow me on Twitter at @TheAlexisCraft. You can follow Jake at JK Bogan. We'll be back later this week with a preview episode for the Rams matchup versus the Arizona Cardinals. But guys, until then, stay safe, take care, and go Rams.
If you haven't joined Prize Picks yet, you need to do it this season. Prize Picks allows you to pick up to 5 player props, and it gives you the option to 10x your winnings. Look at this right now. Tom Brady right now, for a limited time only, is a free square, because unless he gets hurt, he is going to be getting that 0.5. I'm going to select Tom Brady. I'm going to select Josh Allen going 275.5. Matthew Stafford going 265.5. We'll just throw Lamar Jackson in here, and we'll just throw, let's just throw Justin Fields gets more than 191.5. So what you do here, you go, you put more or less if you believe, you know, Lamar Jackson gets less than that. And there you go, 10x your winnings if this pays out. You will actually get paid out even if you only hit 3 of them. You'll get 0.4 times your money back. You'll get 2 times. You'll double your money if you get at least 4 out of 5. Deposit today by using our promo code DTRAMS, and you'll get up to a $100 bonus match.